Hey guys, welcome to the AEW Review Show. Jeff Johnson will be here in just a moment to give you your full recap and review from last night's show that took place on June 17th, 2020. So we're going to get it all started with Jeff right after this. The Possum Cast is a podcast that dives into the world of starting out in stand-up comedy. Every Tuesday, Nick, Rob, and Jay talk about the open mic scene, how they're going to break into the comedy world, and showcase how they are completely unable to stay on topic. If you've ever wondered what it's like to sit at the table with a bunch of comics, then this is the show for you. Again, the show is called Possum Cast, P-O-S-O-M, Cast, and it's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. This is a really good show, guys. Check out the Possum Cast today.
To the All Elite Podcast.
All Elite Podcast.
Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
Wait a minute. Sean Spears? Oh, my God! Spears with a chair shot right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
One, two, three, kiss!
To you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
What is up, guys? Welcome to this week's edition of the All Elite Podcast right here on the WWE Podcast. I am your host, Jeff Johnson. Guys, I am super, super excited for a great show tonight. AEW Dynamite is going to be completely stacked from top to bottom. We're heading into Fyter Fest here pretty soon, and feuds are going to be continued. We're going to see where a lot of different directions they're going to go heading into Fyter Fest. On the docket tonight, we have Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho, the La Sex Gods, taking on the Best Friends, and the Best Friends are actually putting up their number one contendership in this match. We have MJF taking on Billy after an altercation they had in the crowd last week. We have the Young Bucks taking on the Super Bad Death Squad, which consists of Jimmy Havoc and Kip Sabian. We have the Dynamite return of Anna Jay in the women's division. We have Cody in an open challenge for the TNT Championship, which they have not announced who his opponent is going to be. So I'm thinking it's going to be kind of interesting. There's a couple names floating in my head. I'm not going to throw any out there right now, but I'm looking forward to them, and that should be really good. And you know, and what I think is going to be the main event of the night for the AEW Tag Team Championships, we have the champions Kenny Omega and Hangman Page taking on the Natural Nightmares, consisting of QT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes. And that's going to be a really good match. And Tony Khan put a tweet out before the show started talking about, this is the first time that Dustin Rhodes and Kenny Omega have been against each other. And that's very, very interesting. And, you know, kind of a clash of generations here, and, you know, big names from different generations. And, you know, both guys are baby faces. You know, Dustin is part of the Nightmare family, you know, Kenny part of the Elite, you know, everybody kind of intertwined with each other a little bit. So it's going to be interesting seeing these guys on opposite sides. And, you know, I think it's going to be a great show tonight, guys. There's a lot on the line, and especially in the tag team division, because they also announced that the winners of both the tag team matches, which would be the tag team title match and the number one contender match, will main event one of the two nights of Fyter Fest for the AEW Tag Team Championship. So a lot to determine tonight on the tag team division going forward. Of course, you know, FTR is sitting there in the wings. The Bucks are doing their thing. You know, the tag team division, you know, I'm sure before the night's over, we'll talk about the tag team division a lot. And you guys know how I feel about it if you guys listen to previous episodes. So going to be a great night tonight, guys. You know, one thing I've kind of harped on with AEW is a lot of squash matches, but that doesn't seem like what we're getting tonight. I think we're going to be getting a lot of great in-ring action, maybe, you know, a Brian Cage squash match or a Lance Archer squash match, you know, in between some of the big matches. But tonight's going to be in-ring heavy when it comes to some great matchups. I think, in my opinion, this is going to be one of the better episodes of Dynamite. And, you know, we're going to be getting ready for Fyter Fest here pretty soon. Fyter Fest is July 1st and July 8th. So we're only about 2 weeks away from the first night of Fyter Fest. So I'm really excited, guys. This is going to be a great episode of Dynamite. And you guys make sure you stick around, and we're going to break it down from start to end. Before we get started, guys, make sure you guys subscribe to the WWE Podcast on all your podcasting platforms, whether that be Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you guys get your podcast. Make sure you guys subscribe. For all of you on Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave a 5-star review and, you know, type out a review for us. Let us know what you think about this show and all the other shows on the WWE Podcast. There's some great ones out there, and we love getting your guys' feedback. So make sure you guys give us a subscribe and let us know what you think. All right, guys, without further ado, let's get into this week's edition of AEW Dynamite. So AEW Dynamite starts off this week with what I thought was going to be the main event, but it's actually going to open the show. It is our AEW World Tag Team title match, pitting the champions Kenny Omega and Hangman Page taking on the Natural Nightmares, Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall. I've been a little, I wouldn't say I would be hard, I've been hard on the Natural Nightmares. I didn't really feel like that they were the number one contenders. I know they've been winning a lot on Dark, but we really haven't seen them win a whole lot on Dynamite. But they are going into this, I'm not mistaken, on a 4-match win streak. So I guess if you're going to, you know, get a title shot, I guess winning 4 in a row is the way to get there. But, I really enjoyed this match a lot. It was very fast paced, and it started off with Dustin and Kenny, and which is the matchup I was really looking forward to in this. And both guys looked really good. There was a spot early on in the match where Kenny was in the corner and Dustin charged at him, and Kenny went to do his flip over the top of him. And when he did, he accidentally headbutted Dustin and caught him with his knees. And you could tell it kind of affected Dustin quite a bit, that Dustin was a little inebriated, you know, didn't quite know where he was. I hope he didn't suffer a concussion or anything. But they stopped the match for a few seconds for Dustin to kind of get his wits about him. He and Kenny kind of, you know, shook hands, you know, good sportsmanship. And Kenny tagged out to Hangman and Dustin tagged out to QT Marshall. It was, it was weird. You could tell that it was real, that something kind of happened there. But as the match went on, Dustin kind of got his wits back and ended up having a really good showing in this match. One thing that was kind of funny in the middle of the match is they were talking about Britt Baker. Britt was actually sitting kind of below where the announce table is, and she had a pulley system from her chair to where Tony Schiavone is, and she was sending notes back and forth to him. It was actually kind of funny. It was a funny little spot in the middle of the match, and Britt was just kind of hounding Tony, tell him that his shirt looks bad and stuff like that. It was funny. It was a funny little touch to sidebar to this match. But one thing I was really impressed with in this match was QT Marshall. I thought by far this was the best showing that QT Marshall has had. He looked incredible. His moves looked great, which I know he's a coach. He's been, you know, wrestling for a long time. But this is the first time that I really saw him in there with some, you know, with talent like a Kenny Omega and a Hangman Page, and he really held his own. I was super, super impressed with him. And, you know, he can fly pretty well for, you know, kind of being a bigger guy a little bit. And he's very smooth. So I like this. This was a very, very good showing for him, and maybe even a coming out party for QT Marshall. Toward the end of the match, everything really picked up pace even more than it was. And there was a great sequence toward the end with everybody kind of hitting their finishers and some near falls. And, QT Marshall ended up hitting his dive over the top after Dustin did his flipping senton off the apron. And right before this happened, actually, Allie came out. Allie didn't join them when the match started because they were saying that Brandy didn't want her out there because she was kind of a distraction. But Allie did end up coming out. She wasn't really a distraction per se, but she came out to kind of cheer QT on. Nothing, you know, she didn't really cost them or anything like that. But QT ended up missing a moonsault, and right after this is when the champions hit the last call for the victory. So Kenny Omega and Hangman Page are still your AEW World Tag Team Champions heading into Fighter Fest. This was a really good match, guys. I like this a lot. It was a great hot opener, fast paced. I thought everybody looked good, but in my opinion, I think QT Marshall really stood out in this match, and he was kind of the shining star in it. I hope this is kind of the start of something for him, that he, you know, everybody kind of took notice, which I know everybody in the back, from what I've heard, really likes him, and they really enjoy, you know, him being around and everything he does, you know, for, you know, training guys and, you know, kind of being a team player. But I would like to see more QT Marshall at this point. I was that impressed with him. But the big thing coming out of here is that, you know, still your tag team champions, Hangman Page and Kenny Omega, and they will face the winners of our main event, which is going to be the Sex Gods, Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara, taking on the Best Friends. So we'll see where they're going with this. That main event, I have no clue who's going to win it. I wish I had any kind of information on it, but I don't. I can see either team winning this match. So, you know, we'll cover that match when we get to it, but it's going to be a great main event. So up next, we get a video package highlighting women's competitor Anna Jay. We've seen Anna Jay a couple times on Dynamite and on Dark, and she hasn't had a lot of success in her couple of her matches that she's had, but she's had some really good showings, and I've been very impressed with her. And it looks like they're going to start putting a little bit of steam behind her. This is a really good video package that really highlighted some of the good stuff she's done. She comes out and gets a good entrance, and she has a great look, and she gets in the ring, and then all of a sudden things take a very, very weird turn. The camera kind of starts, it's kind of hard to explain, but it changes, becomes kind of fuzzy, and the colors are distorted, and we get the entrance of a female named Abaddon. Abaddon comes out, and she's got like two different color contacts in. It's kind of creepy, you know. She crawls out on her stomach all the way to the ring, and she just has this very dark, I know I keep saying creepy, but that's what it is. It's this creepy aura about her. And the match starts, and this goes very, very quickly, and it is a win for Abaddon. Abaddon with a very impressive, quick showing in her Dynamite debut over Anna Jay, who they just spent some time hyping up. So this is different. This is definitely different than anything that you normally see in pro wrestling, because normally the superstar that gets the treatment of the video package and the build up, you know, they come out and they have a really good showing. But this is the exact opposite. It was cool and it was different, and it's, you know, I like it, because you want to do things that are kind of off the wall, you know, off the cuffs than what you usually see, and that's what we got here. But after the match was over, we hear the music of the Dark Order start up, and the entire Dark Order comes out. And first, Evil Uno and Stu Grayson walk over to the barricade where Colt Cabana's standing, and they hand him some papers. And it looks like it's a contract of some sort. Colt doesn't sign it, but he just has this look on his face that he's kind of torn on what he wants to do, and, you know, really didn't give a whole lot of reaction. Like, he's seriously thinking about joining the Dark Order, it seems like. But as this happens, the rest of the Dark Order gets in the ring with Anna Jay. They help her out of the ring, and Mr. Brody Lee, extends his hand to Anna Jay and helps her out of the ring, and they walk, and Anna Jay and the entire Dark Order walk through the tunnel together. So it looks like the Dark Order is going to be gaining a female companion here, and I've never really put together the fact that they could have a female in there, but I guess obviously they could. It's just always been talked about the male competitors joining because, you know, strength and power, stuff like that. But hey, adding a female or two to this group is great. It's a great idea. I like it a lot, and Anna Jay's got a lot of potential, so I like this. I thought this was a great move. It was different. This whole segment was different, and it has my attention. You know, the Dark Order, they've been doing some things here and there lately, but they really hadn't made any big moves until starting really last week with Colt Cabana, and now with Anna Jay. The numbers are starting to grow, and the Dark Order is going to become a formidable force, I have a feeling, especially with Uno and Grayson back and with them being at full force. So this is a good segment. I like this a lot, and I'm really intrigued. It really has my attention, and the Dark Order are making some big moves. So let's keep watching. Let's see what they're going to do. And I have a feeling sooner than later, the Dark Order is going to be running roughshod over AEW. So up next, we get MJF taking on Billy Gunn. This match stems from these two getting in a little bit of war of words last week, which, you know, is nothing new for MJF. Always getting in the war of words with people. And, you know, this was a fun match. It was good to see Billy Gunn in the ring again. You know, he doesn't do it very often anymore. But, you know, I thought he looked good in this match. He moved around well. You know, he's getting up there in age. He's been doing this for a really long time. He's still in phenomenal shape. I mean, he's shredded to the core. And the start of this match was pretty much Billy just kind of making fun of MJF. MJF would try stuff and Billy would just outpower him, and MJF played it off perfectly. Great facial expressions, great reactions, stuff like that. But MJF ended up hitting two chop blocks on Billy to kind of turn this match around, and got a long commercial break in the middle of this, but it was okay. We had the split screen, and the entire commercial break was pretty much MJF in control. Wardlow got involved at one time, throwing Billy's legs into the ring post. And, you know, the first half of this match or show was MJF really working on Billy's leg. And I really enjoyed Billy selling too. Billy's still one of the best sellers that, you know, that's around. He's always been very, very good at that. Even for being, you know, kind of known as a bigger guy, his selling's always been on point. There was that one time that MJF put a kind of like a reverse figure four calf crusher type of move on Billy, and he grabbed the top ropes for leverage, and Aubrey Edwards actually caught him. MJF didn't let go, so Aubrey kicked the top rope and made MJF fall and let go of the hold. Very Earl Hebner-ish. We used to see him do that back in the day when he was repping full time. So you know, I know Aubrey's becoming a star, and you know, I'm becoming a big fan of hers too.
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
The Possum Cast is a podcast that dives into the world of starting out in stand-up comedy. Every Tuesday, Nick, Rob, and Jay talk about the open mic scene, how they're going to break into the comedy world, and showcase how they are completely unable to stay on topic. If you've ever wondered what it's like to sit at the table with a bunch of comics, then this is the show for you. Again, the show is called Possum Cast, P-O-S-O-M, Cast. And it's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. This is a really good show, guys. Check out the Possum Cast today.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
In a lot of other organizations, I'm not going to name any. You guys probably know which one I'm talking about, but you don't see the referees get acknowledged very often. They're kind of there. And, you know, I'm a big fan of referees. I think referees are very, very important in matches. I've always thought that. I know their job is to kind of not be seen for the most part and to keep the match going. But every once in a while, I think it's cool to have a referee kind of have a showing, you know, and I think it can add to stories and add to matches. And, you know, we've seen Aubrey have a history with Chris Jericho. You know, they go back and forth a lot and stuff like that. And actually Aubrey's on Chris Jericho's podcast this week. So if you guys don't get a chance, make sure you guys listen to that. It's really good. But, you know, Aubrey gets involved and, kind of turns the tide for Billy a little bit, and, get toward the end of the match, Billy's on the outside and Wardlow Billy goes for the Famouser and hits it on MJF. And before he can go for the pin, Wardlow jumps on the apron, distracts Billy and tosses the ring, the dynamite diamond ring to MJF. And they have a little scuffle talking about Billy and Wardlow on the outside. Billy gets back in the ring. MJF clocks him with the ring and gets the pinfall for the victory. So MJF still yet to be pinned or submitted in AEW. This was a fun match though, and this is a good match for MJF because he's going against a veteran, a guy that's been around for a long time, a big name, and a guy physically bigger than him. So it shows that MJF can go against somebody like a Jungle Boy size, and even go against somebody bigger too. He's very, very well diverse when it comes to that type of stuff. So good showing by both guys here. Good showing by MJF. I know I didn't talk about him a whole lot, but, you know, his in-ring stuff is great. You know, everybody talks about MJF's talking ability, but he can really go in the ring. And, you know, this was no exception. Another great match by both these guys. After the match, MJF's starting to walk away when he walks by Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy kind of spins him around and gets in his face because Jurassic Express is on, you know, the outside of the barricade, his fans. And Jungle Boy starts asking MJF about using the ring. MJF kind of laughs at him, and then they get into a brawl, and Wardlow gets involved. The rest of Jurassic Express gets involved. We get this big pull apart where the people in the crowd are getting involved and people in the back are coming out, getting involved, trying to separate these guys. And you could tell there's still a lot of bad blood there between MJF and Jungle Boy. And Jim Ross even said on commentary, "I like this feud," and I agree with them because these guys are both so young. And we talked about this whenever they had their match at Double or Nothing, that this is a feud that I think could go on for a very, very long time. Both these guys have great chemistry in the ring together. You know, Jungle Boy doesn't talk a lot, but he's going to get to where he's a good talker. I mean, his dad was an actor. His dad was a great talker. And, you know, we've heard Jungle Boy talk before, and he does have some chops. He just doesn't get to show it a whole lot. But the longer he's in this company and the more comfortable he gets on the mic, Jungle Boy's going to be a great talker as well. And he's just a natural babyface. He oozes babyface charisma. So I really like MJF and Jungle Boy as a long-term feud for many, many years to come. And even if it's something they just kind of do like this as a one-off every once in a while, and then 6 months down the line, they get into it again and just kind of keep that going. I mean, this could be a feud we see for many, many years to come. And I hope so, because both these guys kind of bring out the best in each other. Everybody kind of has that one person that they are, you know, attached to the hip with. And I think MJF and Jungle Boy, as weird of a combination as that sounds, I think they might be it. There's something special about these two guys together. So was this a one-off kind of thing? I don't know. I doubt it. I think they're going to be heading somewhere with this. And I think we're going to get some kind of big MJF Jungle Boy match eventually, whether it be at Fyter Fest or All Out when it happens. But this is a feud, in my opinion, that's going to be going on for a long time. And I love it because both these guys are young, they're hungry, they both want to make names for themselves. And like I said, they bring out the best in each other. So this was a very, very good segment. I liked it a lot. We get a quick interview with Tony Schiavone interviewing Britt Baker. And before he even talks to Britt, he announces that Hikaru Shida will defend the AEW women's title against Penelope Ford at Fyter Fest, which Ford's got a couple of big wins under her belt over the last couple of weeks. Nyla Rose was the number one contender, but I guess Penelope Ford jumped her, and Penelope Ford's getting the shot now. So that'd be a fun match. It's different. Penelope Ford, she's really good. She does have a couple moments where I was gonna say the B word, but not that B word you guys are thinking. She does have a couple botches every once in a while, but I think she's a great athlete. She is a very, very good wrestler, and she's impressed me with a lot of things. So I think it's going to be fine. I think, you know, she's really good. Now, don't get me wrong, guys. I like Penelope Ford a lot. And I think her and Sheeta are going to have a really, really good match together. I think they're going to have a real good dynamic, and it'll be a fun match. But of course, Britt is still in her role model role, and she was mad at Tony for not acknowledging her, not talking about her, because Tony went straight to the big announcement for Fyter Fest for the women's title. So Britt told her, or told Tony, that they're on a friendship break and they're not going to talk anymore. And Britt told her assistant to drive away. Well, the camera pans to the front of the car, or the front of the vehicle, and it's actually Big Swole sitting there, which Big Swole and Britt have been kind of getting into it the last couple of weeks. And Big Swole yells out, where to, doctor? And Britt realizes that it's Big Swole, and she starts freaking out. And Big Swole drives off, and there's like a camera in like a dashboard camera kind of showing Big Swole. And she's just laughing, talking all kinds of trash at Britt. And Britt's in the back just all freaking out. It was pretty funny. It was a pretty funny segment. I liked it. So I guess they're going to keep this feud going between these two until Britt gets back. And I like it because, like I said last week, I think this feud for these two will work out for both of them because, you know, Big Swole's trying to make a name for herself. Britt is, in my opinion, still the face of the women's division, especially since her heel turn. You know, she's a big part of the show. So it's going to help out Big Swole a lot. I think they'll have some good matches together, especially if Big Swole can win that feud. It could really kind of put her over the top because she's right there, in my opinion. She's real close to breaking out. She's done a great job of making her name for herself. You know, she has segments on BTE, so she's getting to be known on that too. So I like it. I like where they're going with this, with these two. Of course, you know, it is going to be a bit before Britt's back, but I think if I'm not mistaken, she's about halfway there. They said 8 weeks. It's been four since her injury. So Britt's getting there, and hopefully she'll be back very soon. And you know, they did say that, or she did say in an interview, she'll be back by All Out. So, I'm guessing that's where they're going to go, and they'll have plenty of time to build it up before All Out too. So that'll be a fun feud when it happens. Or a fun match, I should say, when it happens. Up next, we get our TNT Championship match pitting Cody Rhodes against a mystery opponent. Cody comes out to cut a promo and reveals that his opponent, or Arn Anderson actually reveals that his opponent is going to be the inaugural NWA World Television Champion, Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks debuted back in 2012 in NWA, became their inaugural television champion and had a great run there. I've heard a couple of things about this guy, and I've heard some good things about him. You know, his name's been floating around a little bit over the last few weeks. He is a free agent from NWA. They did like a kind of a highlight video of him before he came out, and he said that he is the hottest free agent in all of wrestling. That's kind of a term that's used quite a bit. And Ricky Starks comes out and has this TNT Championship match with Cody. Cody had said in a previous promo that anybody, you know, people that aren't in AEW can get a shot at this as well. And this is the first time we've seen somebody not a part of the AEW roster officially get a shot at the TNT Championship. So this was a really fun match. Ricky Starks was very, very impressive. You know, like I said, I've heard good things about him. This is the first time I've actually seen him wrestle, though, to be completely honest with you. And he's very good, very fast, very fluid. He and Cody worked very, very well together. Early on, Cody actually took a pretty nasty bump And obviously, you could tell it was a planned spot. It wasn't a botch or anything. But and Cody pretty much went ribs first, full momentum into the second and bottom rope, and it was a kind of a scary looking spot. But you know, Cody was fine. He took the bump well. But it was definitely a tide turner for this match. You know, not a lot to, you know, there wasn't really a whole lot of big spots or anything that really stood out. Just a lot of good back and forth wrestling. There was one point when Ricky Starks hit a beautiful superplex on Cody. And Arn Anderson got involved at one time to keep keep Cody from getting leg dropped on the middle rope. But besides that, you know, it was just a good back and forth match. They showed Jake Hager a couple times in the backs. Watching the match from a television screen, because as we know, Jake Hager gets a TNT title shot at Fyter Fest as of right now against Cody. You know, Cody is defending this title every single week, so anything can happen between now and Fyter Fest. But in the end, Cody hits the crossroads and Cody gets the victory here. But great showing here by both guys, but especially Ricky Starks making his debut. I guess you can call it a debut. You know, he's not officially part of AEW yet, as far as I know. But he had a really good show in here, and I think there's going to be a spot for him on the AEW roster, especially if he's a free agent for real. He's going to fit in well. That's all I'm going to say with AEW. His style fits a lot of the guys here. He's very fast paced, you know, very, very fluid with his moves. So I was really impressed. I was really impressed with Ricky Starks. You know, first impressions go a long way, especially in pro wrestling. And I thought he had a good one. So congratulations to Ricky Starks, I'm sorry, for his debut, but congratulations also to Cody, still your TNT television champion. So next up, we get a big tag team match pitting the Super Bad Death Squad, consisting of Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc, taking on the Young Bucks. And as in most Young Bucks matches, there was a lot that went on in this one. You know, we haven't seen the Young Bucks a whole lot in the ring in the last couple of months. I think this is their second match back, if I'm not mistaken, actually in the ring. But man, these guys have not missed a beat. They are still... I know they say it over and over again. They make it known. The announcers make it known. But they really are one of the best, if not the best, tag team in professional wrestling, in my opinion. Just everything they do, they work as one mind. I think Jim Ross said something like that during the match. And they're so fluid. They do so many things well. Their tag team, double team moves are just on point. The timing is great. These guys are so much fun to watch. Before the match got started, though, referee Rick Knox, was doing the pat down on both guys or all four guys to check and see if they had anything on them. And Jimmy Havoc actually had a pair of pliers on him. So it's kind of a little funny thing to happen at the beginning of the match. Very Jimmy Havoc of him, you know, and he's crazy, and he plays the crazy gimmick very well. And it was funny. It was a funny way to start the match. But the Young Bucks started the match on fire, just hitting move after move, you know, all double team moves. And it was when the Butcher and the Blade got involved that the match kind of turned around. The Butcher and the Blade were actually in the crowd having words with the Bucks. They showed up, actually got on the apron to cause a distraction. And that's when Havoc and Sabian kind of took the match over. There was a point not long after this where the referee's back was turned because the Butcher and the Blade were on the apron again, and Jimmy Havoc ended up hitting Matt in the back with a wet floor sign. I don't know where he got this sign from. I hadn't seen it the entire show so far, but he pulled it out. I guess it was under the ring or something, but he pulled it out and hit Matt with it. It actually wasn't the only time we saw this sign during this match. The Butcher and the Blade tried to get involved a third time, and when they did, FTR actually came out to even the sides. So four of the, you know, we've seen these four tag teams around in the ring at the same time quite a bit lately, and we saw it again. FTR showed up to kind of even the sides to keep the Butcher and the Blade at bay. Before we get to toward the end of the match, I want to talk about Nick Jackson real quick. You know, Nick's been out for a while. You know, he hasn't had a whole lot of in-ring work. But he got a hot tag in this match, and he was absolutely on fire with this, no pun intended, because he just, man, the hot tags that Nick Jackson does are some of the best in the business. You know, I watch a lot of wrestling, a lot of organizations, but when he gets that hot tag, there's not a whole lot better. I'm serious, guys. I mean, he's hitting spin kicks to the face. He's doing top rope planches on the guys, backflips, whatever. But he just makes it look so easy, makes it look effortless. And it's really, really fun to watch. And I mean, I could sit here all day and just talk about how good Nick Jackson's hot tags are. But I mean, next time you guys watch, if you guys haven't ever noticed it and like just kind of sat down and broke down his the hot tags, they're great. I mean, and it really adds a different dynamic to the matches and really takes it to that next level. Getting towards the end of the match, Matt ended up getting hit with a double stomp by Kip Sabian after Nick got distracted by FTR and the Butcher and the Blade having words on the outside. And, yeah, Sabian hit this double stomp on Matt, and they were playing off Matt's rib injury this entire time.
The Possum Cast is a podcast that dives into the world of starting out in stand-up comedy. Every Tuesday, Nick, Rob, and Jay talk about the open mic scene, how they're going to break into the comedy world, and showcase how they are completely unable to stay on topic. If you've ever wondered what it's like to sit at the table with a bunch of comics, then this is the show for you. Again, the show is called Possum Cast, P-O-S-O-M, Cast, and it's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. This is a really good show, guys. Check out the Possum Cast today.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
And right before the three count happened, Nick comes flying in with a save, and it was one of the better pin saves I've seen, because the camera was kind of Matt level showing the pinfall, and Nick just came out of nowhere with this save. I thought Nick was still on the outside, and really I thought this was it. This was going to be the end of the match, big upset, but Nick made the big save, and the Bucks kind of took over from here. And in one of the craziest spots I've ever seen, I've never seen something like this before. But Matt and Nick Jackson pick up Jimmy Havoc upside down and pretty much put his legs on top of Kip Sabian, as Sabian standing up dazed, and they let go of Havoc, where Sabian's holding Havoc in like a tombstone pile driver position. Well, the Young Bucks both super kick each leg of Sabian. Sabian drops down to his knees, pretty much causing a tombstone pile driver to Havoc. And then the Young Bucks grab the arms of Sabian, hit the double knees to the face, and that's enough for the Young Bucks to get the victory. It was nuts. Guys, it was absolutely insane, this spot. I've never seen something like this before. I know you kind of got to blur the lines of reality a little bit. It is kind of a crazy spot, but it was fun. It was really cool, very innovative, and the announcers were putting it over as something they'd never seen before, and it's something I've never seen before, but hey, that's the Young Bucks. That's what they do. As soon as the match was over, the Butcher and the Blade come in and start attacking the Bucks. FTR gets involved, and you start seeing a little bit of one-upsmanship between FTR and the Young Bucks. The FTR is going for their Goodnight Express, which was formerly the Shatter Machine in WWE. And as they go for it, the Bucks cut them off and end up hitting super kicks on the Butcher and the Blade. And then the Young Bucks grab Butcher. I think they grab Butcher, and the FTR grabs the Blade, and they both set up for their corner pile drivers. And at the same time, the Young Bucks hit the Indie Taker as the FTR hits their mind breaker, I think it's called. It's a spike pile driver, but I think they call it the mind breaker. So kind of a one-upsmanship between both teams. And after it happened, they kind of stared each other down as the segment ended. But this was really fun, guys. The Young Bucks are so much fun to watch. You know, I don't take anything away from Jimmy Havoc and Kip Sabian. They were very good too. They did their parts. I know I really didn't talk about them a whole lot. They had really good showings in this as well, but the Young Bucks are just, they're so exciting. They're so much fun to watch. Yes. You know, they're different. I know people are very opinionated on the Young Bucks and how their matches are, how they're set up, but you guys can't deny that they're exciting. And every time they're in the ring, it captivates you. It catches your attention. And this match is no different. Man, when that Young Bucks versus FTR match finally happens, it's going to be something special. You know, we've seen an amazing tag team match once this year already between the Young Bucks and Omega and Page, which, you know, they're putting over as the greatest tag team match of all time. That's a bold statement. There's been some great tag team matches in the history of pro wrestling. You know, there's been enough, you know, greatest wrestling matches of all time taglines going around lately. But it was an amazing match. But I think FTR and the Young Bucks can top it or at least match it. Both these teams are incredible. I hope they kind of push this a little bit and they don't give it to us. I don't want to say don't give it to us on free TV, but I do feel like this is a match many, many years in the making. The build needs to be slow. It needs to be methodical. I would like to see one of the teams kind of start being a little more heelish toward the other one, which if I had to guess, it would be FTR turning heel on the Bucks. And when that happens and they officially start this feud, it's going to be big. It's going to be one of the bigger storylines in all of AEW. So, but I like what they're doing, and you know, they're getting the fans behind FTR, and it's a good idea because when they do turn, it's going to be a bigger deal, especially if there are fans in the crowd eventually when it does happen. So I like this. I like the booking decision. I like how they're keeping FTR as faces for now. The Young Bucks are obviously faces. But like I said, when that switch happens, we've seen the FTR be heels before, and they can be great heels. And now they kind of have more of an open canvas, an open platform to really be dastardly heels. And I know they can pull it off. I mean, we've seen Arn and Tully back in the day be dastardly heels, and they were great at it. You know, the comparisons between them and FTR happen every single time we see them. And I feel like it's still going to be like that too, even more so with FTR. So I'm excited. I'm so excited. You know, we talk about the tag team division. Tag team wrestling is not even over for the night yet. We still have our big main event for the number one contendership between the La Sex Gods and the Best Friends. So still more tag team wrestling to be talked about once we get to it. Before we get to our main event, we get an update on the situation that transpired earlier between Britt Baker and Big Swole. Reba, which is Britt Baker's assistant, is running to the outside of the arena looking for her and actually finds Britt inside of a dumpster outside of it. Britt is furious about this, of course, and blames Reba for it, asking Reba where she's at, and Reba says she was in the restroom when all this transpired. Britt actually ends up firing Reba, but this actually excites Reba, and Reba asks her, am I free? Well, this kind of strikes a nerve with Britt, and Britt says, no, you know, you're not fired. You're still my assistant. And then Britt starts asking where Tony Schiavone is and starts blaming him for it. And then Britt gets kind of more of a serious look and looks in the camera and tells Big Swole that she's going to sue her for this, and that she will regret the day that she messes with her. So this was good for Britt. And, you know, it shows Britt that she's got this other side of her, and that, you know, she's not afraid to be made look like a fool. And, you know, and most great heels aren't afraid to do that. You know, they'll put themselves out there. I always go back to Vince McMahon back when he was the best heel in the world. And, you know, he would always let Stone Cold get the best of him, The Rock, Triple H, whatever. You know, he wasn't afraid to make a fool out of himself to make the baby faces look better. And Britt did this here. And this, you know, this is going to help Big Swole, and it's also going to help Britt too. And, you know, when Britt ends up getting her revenge, it's going to make it even better. So this was good. And I like that Britt is doing this, and she's not afraid to take that extra step. I mean, sitting in that dumpster couldn't have been pleasant. So this was cool. I really did like this a lot. So it is main event time, guys. And we have our big tag team matchup pitting the La Sex Gods, Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara, taking on the Best Friends. And the Best Friends have put up their number one contendership for this match. Matt Hardy ends up coming out on commentary for this match just to kind of, you know, be an extra voice for it. I thought maybe he would get involved in this match, but he didn't. He stayed at the table the entire time, just, you know, just did commentary. But this is a really fun back and forth match. Neither team really had an upper hand. It was 50-50 the entire time. Everybody kind of had good shining moments. JR and Excalibur made a point that Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara are the only team to have an unanswered win against Omega and Page. So that was kind of a good way to set the tone for this match. And it really made you think, okay, we could see Sammy and Chris win in this match because that's something they could hype up going into the big title match at Fighter Fest, that Omega and Page have to face the team that they actually haven't beaten yet. But the match goes on, like I said, very back and forth. Two things I took from this match that I really enjoyed a lot was Trent's aggressiveness and Sammy Guevara's selling. Trent is very aggressive with his offense, not in a stiff, you know, unprofessional kind of way, just the way he does his moves, his strikes, his chops, you know, more than anything, are super, super strong. He hit Sammy with a chop about halfway through the match, and Sammy just dropped to his knees and sold it like he had been shot. It was incredible. You know, both guys, I thought, had a really good showing in this. Sammy Guevara, I could do an entire podcast on Sammy Guevara. He's becoming one of my favorites in the entire organization. He's so good. He's just only going to get better. He's another one of these young talents that I talk about each week that is growing more and more every week, learning from the veterans. And this is, you know, Sammy is a great example of that. The Best Friends had control of the match for a little while, and Jericho ended up hitting Trent jabbed the bat, his baseball bat, in the ribs of Trent as Trent was coming over the top rope. They kind of put the match back in the favor of the Lasex gods. I mentioned Matt Hardy was on commentary for this match, and this is kind of taking a step back here for a second. Matt Hardy was on commentary, and he was putting Sammy Guevara over this entire match. You can tell that Matt, I don't know if this was just a personal thing he wanted to do or this something the company wanted to do, but this entire match, he had so many good things to say about Sammy Guevara. So was putting Sammy over big time this entire match. And that all that's going to do is just help Sammy out. He talked about how he went to Sammy last week and told him that if he wants to become the top star, become a top star, he's got to get away from Chris Jericho. And they kind of kept planting that seed even more during this. And they actually announced that Matt Hardy will be facing Sammy Guevara next week. And Matt said that Sammy can pick his persona for that match. So that'll be kind of fun. It'd be a nice little addition to their one-on-one match. But the end of the match is where everything kind of went down. And this was a great ending sequence to this. Sammy Guevara was in the ring with Trent, and Sammy went to hit the ropes, and the cameraman accidentally grabbed Sammy's foot, and they played it that, you know, Sammy got kind of tangled up with the cameraman, but the way they shot it, you could tell the cameraman grabbed his foot. Trent ended up hitting his pile driver finisher on Sammy to get the victory for the Best Friends. So we now know official for Fyter Fest, as one of the main events will be Omega and Paige taking on the Best Friends. And I'm really happy they're keeping this match, because the Best Friends have done such good work, especially during this pandemic. They've been one of the main tag teams that the company can rely on, and they definitely deserve this opportunity. I think that Omega and Paige are going to retain. I might change my mind by the time Fyter Fest gets here. Next week, we'll know exactly what the full Fyter Fest card is, and I'll give my predictions for all the matches. As of right now, I'm going to go with Sammy and Omega and Paige to retain. But it's going to be a great match, and definitely one of the great main events on the two nights for Fyter Fest. After the match, Jericho's in the ring by himself, and the cameraman standing on the ramp. He takes off his hood and his mask, and ends up being Orange Cassidy. Cassidy gets in the ring and faces off with Jericho, and we see an aggressive side of Orange Cassidy we've never seen before. He takes down Jericho multiple times, landing ground and pound on him, just laying heavy fists. Jericho ends up fighting him off, and when Jericho charges, Cassidy hits a huge Superman punch right on the button and knocks Jericho to the floor and pretty much knocks him out for the most part. This is a great moment for Orange Cassidy, and the announcer said that Tony Khan got in their ear just then and announced that at Fyter Fest, it will be Sammy. I keep saying Sammy. I'm sorry. I'm hyped up on Sammy Guevara. I was so impressed with him. I'm such a big fan at this point. But Orange Cassidy will take on Chris Jericho officially at Fyter Fest. It's a match that I've been talking about for a few weeks now. I figured they were heading that way. I didn't think they were going to wait until All Out. They needed to do this match now, and that's going to be a big one. I don't have a pick yet. I don't want to go out on a limb. But I'll let you guys know next week exactly which way I'm going to go with this. But that is going to be one of the bigger matchups on Fyter Fest, because Orange Cassidy is arguably one of the hottest wrestlers in the company. His gimmick is completely over, and Chris Jericho is Chris Jericho. You know, he's the GOAT. So that will be an awesome matchup. And the show ended with Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends hugging in the middle of the ring. So great moment to end the show. Like I said, I'm very happy that the Best Friends are still the number one contenders. I think they earned it. They've put the hard work in. They've been reliable. And them against Omega and Paige is going to be an incredible matchup. I think it's going to be a show stealer. It definitely has that possibility. But with that being said, guys, I thought this was a great addition to Dynamite. A great in-ring action. We were talking about it before the show started, and it lived up to it. I thought every match was great, had a purpose. It was fun. Just a fun in-ring edition of Dynamite. Even the outer ring stuff, the stuff with Britt Baker, I thought was really good. But this edition for sure was definitely in-ring heavy, and I thought Dynamite delivered. Great show from everybody involved in it. All right, guys, that's going to be it for me. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Before we go, one more time, make sure you guys subscribe to the WWE Podcast on all your podcasting platforms, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you guys get your podcasts. Make sure you guys subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think about all the shows on the channel. And until next week, guys, hope you guys have a great one, and I will see you then.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app, so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWEpodcast. Until then, We'll see you next time.